Hi, this is Paul. I have, over the last year, made several videos about the Christian Reformed Church and the crisis that it is currently in right now. I hope to make some shorter videos on some of this. A lot of these videos are readings from what I've written on CRC Voices. CRC Voices, for me, continues to be the best place to sort of process the kinds of things that are going on through the Christian Reformed Church. Yesterday, I made a video about Better Together. I'll do some talking about that, and then I might make another little shorter video about the conservatives that are coming up in leadership now. Or maybe I'll put it all into one video, save you a few clicks. Post after post, thread after thread, the position that same-sex marriage is inherently sinful, it misses the mark. This is the heart of the 1973 report and remains the majority belief in the Christian Reformed Church. Many others believe that same-sex behavior is just a natural variant of human sexuality, like left-handedness. This is of no moral consequence. This is a minority belief in the Christian Reformed Church. This is an impasse. As we've seen with women in office, such differences tend to irritate. Women in office, irritation seems tolerable by the system. LGBTQ will not be. With women in office, it has been difficult to live out the difference. The difference whether that woman can serve in office but not impossible. With women in office, it has been difficult to live out the difference whether women can serve in office but not impossible. The establishment hasn't always played it fair. A sizable group believes that women should not serve, and this bothers the women who are serving. Again and again, we hear about this both publicly and privately from both sides, both from women who are ministers and those who don't believe that it's appropriate to have women in office. Again and again, we hear that any non-affirmation of same-sex relationships or lifestyle or even potential is not just an annoyance but an existential threat to LGBTQ people. Remember that a solid majority of people in the CRC, many of whom are members of churches with leadership that want to affirm, believe this way. How on earth are you going to create a safe space with this reality? What you're telling the majority of the Christian Reformed Church is that they may not have any voice or space to express their beliefs in their church. A belief that has been the majority belief in the Christian Reformed Church for almost all of its existence, for frankly all of its existence, it's been a majority belief, and has been the majority belief of the Christian Church far more broadly than any belief with respect to women in ministry. The recent public posturing of this issue as a justice issue means that the affirming camp cannot back down. They are going to adopt a prophetic posture that demands confrontation. This is the broader cultural posture. This is their use of power. Activism, flags, protests are going to be the tools used to address the majority of the church who do not see it their way. The majority understands that the banner, liturgy committees, social justice groups are going to try using the tools of the denomination to evolve the position of the majority of the Christian Reformed Church into their position. So this is part of the reason why the Christian Reformed Church is at an impasse. Now I want to talk about the age thing. There are two growing demographics in the Christian Reformed Church, the old and the conservative young. Many of the old increasingly do not wish to be bothered. That goes with age. At some point, they are done fighting and just want to get ready for their last struggle, which is increasing loss of friends and vitality. They don't want to fight. They don't want to be the target of someone's re-education program. Many, beyond Grand Rapids, who are coming into the CRC are young conservatives. They are ready to fight. And they have the tools and the organizational imagination to carry on this fight. We've seen this in the Abide group. They are frankly winning the fight. I'm familiar with social media tools, and they are playing the game well. In my opinion, all of these things are a given. Whatever course you wish to chart, this is the landscape. Whether you like it or not, this is the truth about the CRC. Now, in some ways, I stand with the theory of Better Together and even the Hesed Project. I want good conversation and space for appreciative inquiry. The question is where and how. If you try to do this inside the CRC with tools of power, you will elicit the defensive posture we've already seen. Synod 2022 happened like it did because people who want to change the CRC's position on this have, for over 20 years, been pushing. Year after year, what happened was that there were new overtures. Well, we need more study on homosexuality. Some of this came from moderates who very quickly saw that, well, children growing up in the church weren't fitting in. They were leaving the church. They're hoping to look for an answer. And the Christian Reform way of doing this was to have a study committee do it. Others wanted and believed that the Christian Reform Church should change its position on it. Other moderates didn't want to see the Christian Reformed Church take this up because it knew once it got to this level, the level that it got to in Synod 2022, it would probably be game over for sort of an implicit don't ask, don't tell that was happening in the denomination and in local churches. So what had happened is that year after year after year, I can show you the website. I probably shouldn't show you this, because I know a whole bunch of you out there in this little corner are going to say, these are all the positions of the Christian Reformed Church. Let's see how uncomfortable we can make Paul with respect to them. So let's go to the homosexuality page. Full reports and exact statements of the CRC position on a particular issue, see references provided below. So what you have here is a history. And, well, here are all the synods addressing it. 1970, 71, 72, 73, 74, 77, 81, 83, 73 was the major report. 92, 93, 93, 94, 94. Well, usually there's two because there's an agenda for synod and an axe for synod. You can see that this didn't get much treatment between 1981 and 1982. Then 95, 96, 97, 99, 2002, 2013, 2016, 2017, 2017, 2019, 2022. And it's going to go on from there. And so a lot of this was, well, the way to make change in the Christian Reformed Church is usually to address the synod and have the synod write a new study committee giving permission, and then the church can change. As year and year and report compounded, it became evident for those who wished to see the denomination change on this that the synodical route was not going to go. And one of the groups in the Christian Reformed Church that wanted to see change on this was All One Body. Dan Winarski, who is currently on CRC Voices at that in 2018, wrote a piece on the CRC network about what he went to. He went to the All One Body organizational meeting. And basically, they openly talked strategy. One of the speakers made an assertion that I'm disappointed to say I agree with, and Winarski is conservative on the issue. He stated that the current crop of young people in society at large and the CRC in general are completely on board with the idea that homosexual behavior is something to celebrate. Now, I don't think he was right on that. I think he was living in Grand Rapids. He had a particular view of the Christian Reformed Church, but he had a view of the Christian Reformed Church in Grand Rapids. Christian Reformed Church is quite a bit larger, and as I've talked about before, with the hollowing out of the Christian Reformed Church in major cities in North America, as the Christian Reformed Church has declined, it's also gotten more conservative. He stated that it was merely a matter of time until the defenses of the CRC and other denominations like her crumble against the persistent battery of LGBTQ+ movement. But where I am saddened by such things, the speaker was delighted. The problem for the speaker is that he, and almost everyone who believes as he does, is not patient enough to wait for the next generation of leaders to rise up. Friendly to the demands for inclusion, acceptance, and celebration, they want things to move more quickly. To this end, one of the board members of All One Body gave the audience a piece of advice. Do not use scripture to convince your fellow CRC members of the beauty of full inclusion. Instead, rely on personal stories. Everyone has a story, he said. You can argue back and forth all day about scripture, but we're never going to win that way. Nobody can argue with your story. Another member of the panel shared the focal point of his personal story strategy. He said that it was about convincing people through stories about real people who have embraced the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender lifestyle, that such people bear healthier fruit than those who are non-inclusive. Whereas the panel referred to the old teachings of the church as toxic, All One Body wants the CRC as a whole to accept the new teachings of full inclusion, yielding good fruit. The panel members made it clear that the relative health and goodness of the fruit was completely dependent on how a person feels about himself, herself, zerself, or whatever gender pronoun the person identifies with. The church tells people that their preferred lifestyle is sinful and destructive, people will feel bad about it. If the church will affirm someone's lifestyle, people will feel wonderful. That's good fruit, and maybe they'll want to go to church. Skipping ahead, the panel members recognized that the legislative approach of sending an overture to synod was not likely to turn the CRC into an all-inclusive ally of LGBTQ+ promoters. They also exhibited pessimism that the 2021 Synodical Report on Human Sexuality will move the CRC closer to their desired outcome. Because of this, the panel revealed their preference for a strategy using the judicial ruling similar to the way secular activists won their case in the United States Supreme Court with Obergefell. All One Body's plan to transform the CRC will proceed as follows. They will identify a current CRC pastor who is sympathetic to their cause, who is willing to perform a homosexual wedding ceremony. Having taken another route, they will find a CRC congregation that is willing to elect an elder or a deacon who is openly and proudly living in a homosexual partnership. Eventually, this will cause a firestorm of protest in the CRC. Complaints will be filed, debates will ensue, the banner will publish articles both for and against. Not a lot of that has happened. The great brouhaha will eventually make its way to synod. And the hope on the part of All One Body is that synodical deputies will embrace the path of least resistance and rule in favor of the pastor or the church or the office bearer. Or you don't even have to rule in favor of, you just have to not do anything about it, which is what happened in the Reformed Church of America. Synod might decide, as it has done with other controversial topics, that LGBTQ plus question is a matter for each local church council to decide. Or if the personal story of the individual involved is especially powerful, Synod may embrace empathy as a path towards inclusion. Perhaps a desire to move the CRC's relevancy credentials will convince Synod to get with the times. Now, there was a majority and minority report given to Synod last year, and the majority report was what carried the day. The minority report I liked as well, because the minority report said we need to continue to talk about this. Because the truth is that no one has a solution to sort of make things like they were before. There's no getting around this issue. There's only dealing with it. And there are basically two very different, very opposing approaches to dealing with it. On one hand, in the Christian Reformed Church, you have Jim Lucas. You won't be, most of you out there hearing his name won't know who he is. On the other hand, you've got people like Rosaria Butterfield and Beckett Cook, who are large and in charge on YouTube, basically talking, you know, pursuing the approach that the conservatives are pursuing. In other words, there's sort of two ways to go about it. The difficulty is, how do you do both? Because in fact, you have to do both. You can't just do one or the other. You're going to have to continue the conversation in any way. Part of what's plagued the Christian Reformed Church is, after the church decided about women in office with all of this language of, well, let's see if the Spirit blesses it, the Christian Reformed Church basically stopped talking about it because whichever side sort of won, they were afraid of losing the ground that they had. And so then you sort of freeze the conversation too. That, of course, we'll get into, hopefully, the video I'll do at some point about Harry Boer, because Harry Boer is a tremendous example of the difficulties in having a really productive confessional conversation. So for that way, in some ways, I stand with the theory of Better Together and even the Hesed Project. I want good conversation and a space for appreciative inquiry. The question is how and where. If you try to do this inside the CRC with tools of power, you will elicit the defensive posture we've already seen. Synod 2022 happened like it did because people wanted to change the CRC's position on this for over 20 years, and they've been pushing and pushing. Well, you pushed and you got your answer. At Synod 22, the other side finally pushed back. If the votes get closer, they'll push back harder. The CRC repeatedly has tried to structure its way out of problems. And if you go back over the history of the church, for all of these functional issues, restructure, restructure. Well, I think this is actually an issue that requires restructuring, and the best restructure is not a local option. Well, happy day. This is a problem that requires a structural solution, but the establishment doesn't want it because it's going to cost them dearly. This is where we are, in my opinion. Then I talked a little bit about kayfabe. Team Better Together is on a spectrum. This generates the energy of the current winsome wars, say David French in an evangelical space, and watch it rise. The suspicion is that Jamie Smith won't say on Better Together video what people believe he truly believes, signaled previously on Twitter. It's not winsome, it's dishonest, they fear. He's a mole. This tends to fuel the root them out of the institution impulse. The irony is that, via Twitter, he called me out over a decade ago for voting at Senate for maintaining relationships with the PKN. I'm the conversation guy. Over the issue of homosexuality, Jamie Smith has evolved on the topic. Plenty of people have questions about my winsomeness, too. Lots of people in this little corner. Others fear that PVK has evolved the other way. We watch each other. Now, many will scratch their heads asking, what do I mean by kayfabe? I actually found a really cool channel today. This little channel, Frame Problems, only has 3 videos, but they're really good. And he sort of walks through kayfabe. It's sort of a real nice treatment of Eric Weinstein's, a lot of the stuff he was doing back when he was doing The Portal. They're really quite well done. I might even do commentaries on them. They're all fairly short, but they're really very well done. All right, back to the text. Whoops. The leaders of Better Together represent the denominational middle of the leadership middle of the denomination. And if you go to their webpage, again, let's see. No, it's the other one. Okay. The reason they put leadership on this page is that many of these people are very formidable leaders and impressive ministers of the Christian Reformed Church. Their names are well known. Their pulpits are well known. And, you know, some of these guys, Dave Strzok, I went to school with in high school. Kyle Brooks did this conversation with Jamie Smith. A number of other ones I've crossed paths with. Doug Bratt, Rebecca Jordan Hayes, Joel Cook I've heard about, Roger Nelson, advisory team members Dale Cooper, former chaplain of Calvin College, tremendous, tremendous credentials in the Christian Reformed Chief. Keith Dornbush, again, tremendous reputation and credentials in the Christian Reformed Chiefs. Greg Janke, Sid Jansma, Meg Janista, Peter Yonker, David Cole, Ida Mutiogo, she was leading World Renew. Ron Knightum was pastoral care prof at the seminary. D. Recker, an institution in the denomination. Joel Rankema, friend of mine and colleague from Southern California. John Roseboom, friend, former director of Christian Reformed Home Missions. Andy Reiskamp, former director of World Renew. James Scopp, big author in the Christian Reformed Church. Mary Stejink, a friend of my family. Her mother and my mother were roommates in college. And John Terpstra, a well-known pastor in the Christian Reformed Church. Tom Walcott, somebody, he was the director of the mission field when I went to the Dominican Republic. Colin Watson, former executive director of the denomination, somebody that I served many places with from Paterson, New Jersey, who, at least for my part, I certainly count him a friend. Derek Zeil, I hosted his internship. So this is a very impressive group that are charting their way. I wonder about their charting for the reasons that I'm laying out here. And I wouldn't be surprised to get personal emails from some of them with respect to this. Now, part of what happens in a denomination is you really want to keep the family together. And for many of these people, they have devoted their life to the Christian Reformed Church. And to have it come apart is very much what they don't want. It's also the case that before the Reformed Church of America came apart, it's very much what many of them did not want. But come apart, it did. And it didn't come apart because, well, it did come apart because they basically couldn't resolve the impasse that they were in, which is very similar to the impasse the Christian Reformed Church is in, but just not developed and not in the way that it was. The leaders of Better Together represent the leadership middle of the denomination. These are successful CRC pastors, many of which are at the peak of their careers. Then their advisory committee are a number of retired people who have had absolutely the best credentials in the Christian Reformed Church that you can have. They have not migrated into denominational structure because today the ideal of a successful pastor is in their local church, not a denominational bureaucrat. Sorry, Colin. But Colin wasn't a pastor. He was an executive in a major American corporation. What Better Together is showing no aptitude for, that's a little harsh maybe, and what Abide is showing tremendous aptitude for, now I'll say Better Together and not the people within it, is politics. Ironically, Better Together isn't thinking systemically. The only shot to really keep most of the family together is to work on the gravamen rules. I did a video on Cedric Parsons' writing that he's done on Abide, and he did a video conversation about it well, which I thought was very good scholarship, and I think he went through the gravamen thing. And again, I think Harry Boer's case is an important case in that. Cedric Parsons laid out why the current status of the gravamen is probably not sufficient shelter, and Clay Leibel undercut it further. Clay's blog. Now, Clay is coming. Someone told me Clay is coming to Walnut Creek, so Clay's going to be in the area. So hopefully Clay and I can go out for lunch. Maybe we'll make some videos together. Clay, of course, is on the progressive end of this thing, and I certainly welcome people from the right, left, and middle on my channel if you want to talk about this. I have in the past extended invitations to Abide. Anyone from All One Body or Hesed or Better Together want to come on my channel? Maybe you should all come on my channel and we'll have one big conversation together. I would love that. Where are we? Okay. Clay is looking to win, but I think he's overplayed his hand. Moderates want to keep the family together. If you want to do that, so a little bit of advice to Better Together. Number one, people obey the rules in terms of ordination and same-sex marriage. Now, it's a little difficult for people to understand how something like a denomination works. People in denominations look at the church order, they look at rules, and they say, well, here are the rules. Well, yeah, but there's also sort of oral tradition and case law in a denomination, because you'll find many rules on the books that sort of get ignored and it's okay. Then you find other rules on the books that get strictly enforced and everybody understands it. And then you find other things that are not in any rule book at all that get strictly enforced socially and in other quiet ways. That's how communities work. Now, basically what Synod 2022 has done is sort of laid down where the rules currently are. They could change in Synod 2023. That's sort of the nature of the Christian Reformed Church with these synods. People obey the rules in terms of ordination and same-sex marriage. You can't do what Neyland did. Grand Rapids East for years had their statement on their website about basically how they disagreed with the position of the Christian Reformed Church. Nothing happened. Nobody talked about, well, maybe some people talked about it, but nobody seriously contemplated what, let's say, the overture from Zealand that we treated on the channel was contemplating in terms of breaking it up. Nobody talked about that because they had the position. A number of other Christian Reformed churches have affirming positions on their website. Nobody's really going after them. At least nobody has gone after them yet. It's not until you do something that suddenly everything in a community gets triggered. If you're willing to not elect officers in same-sex marriages, you can stay in the CRC. I think that's still true. That's where the line is. We know this now. If you can't live with this rule, you should probably look for a denomination or start the affirming CRC parallel to the current one. That's my advice for you. Because one of the things that we've seen from the Alliance of Reformed Churches, it doesn't take a lot of money to start a denomination. And, you know, I think Abide could do it on a shoestring. If Better Together, in fact, was launched because Classis Grand Rapids East couldn't find $5,000 except for getting it from their mission fund, you should go over to the Abide people and learn something about starting something, or maybe call Dan Ackerman and Tim Vink and ask how they did it, because they did it for the RCA. You may decide to be patient and hope this will change, but the timing isn't now. Unless 2023 decides to not act against Neyland and Grand Rapids East, then we're back in chaos land and likely Dissolutionville. You can have your conscience and your conversations as long as you hold the line. Hold line, one can stay. And I think this is the question of the gravamen conversation. And this might become, we'll have to see what happens in the advisory committees, this might become the focus of Synod 2023. Because deep in it is the question, how can we manage these in Vervaeke 4P land, propositional knowledge, procedural knowledge? How can we handle these two things? What really triggered the reaction was a procedural act, not a propositional act per se. People act like Synod 2022 was a watershed, and it was in many ways, but it wasn't, but in a way it wasn't. Before Synod 2022, we basically had don't ask, don't tell. Nealon told, Synod asked, and then they demanded. There is the line. Synod 2023 could change that line, but blurring the line would lead to more chaos, and coalitions don't like chaos. And basically, the RCA sort of fractured once everybody figured out that, well, similar to what you see happening in the United Methodist Church and other churches, if the rules get too far away, and again, which rules? The body sort of knows it. If the rules get too far away from the actions, people begin to sense this, and then the rules mean nothing, and then people are like, what's the point? Wiggle room remains in the gravamen space, and there's potential there. Why hasn't Better Together gone there? I don't know. You had a major video. Have a major video about gravamens. Now, Clay wrote something about gravamens, and you can look up Clay's Peripatetic Pastor blog, and Clay's blogged a lot on this. And, you know, if you're interested in this, I recommend that you read what Clay writes. Clay's a very vocal voice and a very influential voice in the denomination, has been for a long time. Because the kayfabe, because conservatives suspect kayfabe is true, enough Better Together, they suspect that enough Better Togethers are closet affirmers in spaces that won't allow them to come out, and so the gravamen path violates their consciences. So there might be that group. Better Together just isn't thinking clearly or practically about systemic strategy. And I think that's part of it. Just saying, keep the family together, well, that's just sort of an establishment message, but of course the subtext bled out even in the piece done in the banner about Better Together, and of course you're not going to fool anyone with that. You're going to have to figure out how to do this. Now, maybe I'll just do one video and then be done as time continues to rush on. There's a lot of anxiety because, well, the conservatives, the confessionalists, seem to be in control, and the confessionalists really haven't been in control for 60, 70, 80 years. I don't know that the confessionalists are in control. I think that basically the establishment has lost the confidence of the moderates, that the establishment will no longer sort of keep order in the denomination. The establishment is going to allow chaos to run in the denomination. That's going to make moderates nervous. And so moderate votes for, again, really the first time in many years sort of swung with the conservatives. So now the conservatives have power. Most of these conservatives, however, are millennials and younger. Remember the two groups that are growing in the denomination? Old people and young conservatives. And a lot of people think, well, the young conservatives are going to establish a tyranny. That isn't true at all. One of the things that I saw very clearly in Synod 2022 is that the conservatives are not looking to simply become a new establishment. They don't care about the establishment's institutions. They don't really want to run the show. They want to run their local churches and develop networks and for the most part be left alone, and they don't want their money being used for things that they don't believe are consistent with the Bible or the Word of God. That's very simple. That's what they keep saying again and again and again. Now, most of the establishment is quite a bit older. Let's see, looking on this website, and I don't know everybody's age, but Doug Bratz, but Kyle's young, Rebecca's young, Joel's youngish. If that's the Roger Nelson, because sometimes there's multiple, he's older than I am. If he is, who would Dave Struck is a year older than I am. Joel Skurs, so there's a bunch of people. Dale Cooper, retired. Keith Dornbush, older than I am. Jake Grant, Janky, classmate, a little bit older than I am. Meg Janista, younger. David Cole, retired. Ida, I've probably retired or my age or older. Ron Knightem, retired. D. Recker, just retired. Joel's young. John's retired. Andy Reiskamp's retired. James Scott's retired. John Terpstra might be retired. Tom Walcott getting towards retirement. Colin Watson retired. Derek's younger. So, but they're leaders. They're in a little different place. The new young conservatives don't want control. Oh, they're gonna control us. They're gonna be tyrannical. I don't think they're really interested in that. They're not looking to own the institutions that the establishment cherishes. They just want those institutions to stop promoting the establishment values in the name and with the money of the conservatives. Conservatives have been literally sending this message to Synod over 20 years in overture after overture that Synod after Synod has basically been playing Muhammad Ali, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, or doing the rope-a-dope. That's what Synod's been doing with these conservatives for a long time, and they're pretty much tired of it. Progressives fear that the conservatives want to control. They don't. They're more libertarian than tyrannical. This is the big shift of the 1980s conservatism. CRC conservatives of the pre-1980s died of exhaustion. They were destroyed by the counterculture. Now the desire for control is on the left. They won't rest until their vision of diversity, inclusivity, and equity is ubiquitous. They have inherited the right person's burden of the old CRC conservatives. Confessionalists are happy enough with me and my house, and they will leave you alone. This is not so much a coup as a fence. Progressives are playing the long game. Everyone will evolve. Conservatives are now playing an even longer game. Progressives will die out because they don't reproduce or cohere to new cohere, new conservatives believe. Conservatives today are ironically Darwinian. Only those who reproduce inherit the earth. Look how good the Amish are doing. Conservatives aren't worried about the CRC dying. They'll start a new one. They're entrepreneurial. They did abide without any money from any classes, and they seem to be flourishing in many ways, without a long-term plan, Lloyd says on Voices. They don't really want to inherit the legacy obligations of taking care of all the cherished institutional jewels that the establishment has lovingly built. They're sort of NIMBYs, just not in my backyard. Abide won't rebuild the banner. Why should they? Look at what they've done on their YouTube channel. They get celebrities from the broader evangelical world to make their arguments. Abide has already replaced the banner and on the cheap. Progressives are confused because they think they are fighting mid-20th century tyranny. Always fighting the last war. Conservatives are happy to walk away if they have to. Synod 2022 showed them that they might not have to. The CRC establishment will lose either way. Either they keep all their institutions but struggle to maintain them without the feeding funding network that flourished between the World War II and 2000, and that network is going away. There's enough of it, you know, 20-30% of the denomination is probably sort of on the progressive side, but so much of that is concentrated in West Michigan. You're just not going to get the kind of circulation that really fed West Michigan for the last 70 years. Or they get shown the door because they hold to their convictions. What will really break their hearts is that they see that those who beat them at Synod will have no appetite or desire to maintain the institutions the establishment was displaced from. This is a very sad story. Establishment elites will then try to rebuild some of what they're losing. It will be cheaper, newer, better suited to the current environment. Bees make hives, foxes make dens, CRC establishment types make institutions. It's their nature. All right, I hate to bore the rest of you with a whole bunch of CRC inside baseball, but I want to do what I can to facilitate the conversation, and this is an open invitation. Now, I'm going to be busy in the month of May. If you want to come in and see what my little corner is doing in May, make your way to Chino, California, and buy a ticket from John Van Donk and listen to myself and Jonathan Peugeot and John Vervaeke talk about the Christian Reformed Church, not hardly at all, probably not at all, period, because this does not occupy most of my local work or, in fact, my online work. But I do care for my denomination. It is my people, and I want to do what I can to see it flourish. And so in that sense, I haven't wanted to see anything break up, but I fear something is going to break up. And so Whatever breakup we have, I'd like it to be productive, and whatever comes out the other end, I want it to be more productive than what happened with the United Reformed Church or the Protestant Reformed Church, which broke up in the days of my grandfather. So that's why I do this. That's my appeal. So again, I'd be happy to talk to All One Body, Better Together, Abide. I had Lloyd on the channel. Lloyd was happy to be on there. And again, it's sort of like, so I've been listening to people like Brett Weinstein and Glenn Lowry talk about Tucker Carlson. And what someone, a lefty like Brett Weinstein, says is, conservatives will talk to me. And, you know, YouTube is a place for people who have little to lose. And I've, you know, I've not been able to follow up with some people who are willing to talk. But again, I'd love to see a robust conversation between the two parties before or after Synod. I'm fine. Because truth is, Synod is going to make some decisions and it's going to be consequential. And it's quite likely that after this Synod, the Christian Reformed Church will not be the same again. And that was part of my point about the banner video that I just did, that if you read the banner, you wouldn't have any sense that in many ways this world of the Christian Reformed Church is about to change dramatically. It happened in 2022. It's going to happen again in 2023. None of us know exactly how it will go, which is, of course, why we have the Synod. So, yeah, my heart's in this. I love my church. I love my people. I love my progressive friends. I love my conservative friends. I love the people on, again, I go through this list and Better Together, and these are, I don't know all of these people, but many of these people I know, these are my people. Derek Zile held my children. I held his when my mother's church needed a new pastor. And, and Derek went there. I was thrilled. I don't want my mother having a lousy pastor. Derek's the best. Colin Watson, I have just a world of affection for. You've heard me talk about Dale Cooper on this channel. David Cole worked with for years. I see him when I go down to Southern California, my synodical deputy duty. Joel Rankin is a friend, went to the Dominican Republic after me. James Scott, I did a blurb on one of his books. I'd be happy to talk to James. Mary Stejink, again, our mothers were roommates at Calvin. This is a family thing in the Christian Reformed Church. So these are all my people, and I love them. And do I want to keep the family together? Absolutely. But like I said, Christian Reformed Church loves to solve things with structure. Maybe now's the time we use some of those tools. All right, enough said on this. If you want ongoing conversation, join CRC Voices. Just be prepared to try to be succinct. Don't think that you're getting the flow of the conversation. When newbies come in, they need a little training. Hold on to yourself. Don't start name-calling. I'm a moderator on CRC Voices, too. Bill Viss does a much stronger job of it. And you will get called out for bad behavior on CRC Voices. So leave a comment.